It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Finding out you have cancer is life-changing, and sometimes it could even put a dent in your relationships. And more often than not, you have to work on that relationship while you're battling something that can affect the rest of your life. My guest is licensed clinical social worker, Dr. Catherine Puckett. So welcome to the show, Dr. Puckett. When you get that diagnosis, you're shaken up. It is something that no one, woman or man, wants to hear. Then what? You've got these relationships, whether you're married or it's a, you know, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. How do you deal with that relationship when you've gotten that diagnosis and you want to concentrate on yourself?
First, thank you for having me on the show. I'm delighted to be with you. And yes, relationship issues are so challenging. I mean, it's interesting because we understand that cancer, a cancer diagnosis affects the whole person, mind, body, and spirit, and the whole family. And supportive relationships are really critical in going through the cancer journey, but they're also subject to a lot of stress. And everybody in the person's life, their family or loved ones, are all affected by this. And one of the key factors that comes into play is fear. I mean, the person who got the diagnosis is afraid, and everybody who loves them is afraid in most cases. And so people are afraid of, you know, honestly, are you going to die or not? What's going to change? I don't know how to ask for help. I don't know how to talk to you. I don't know, you know, can we still be intimate? Can we still just act like we always acted before?
Well, that's
all
tough,
while being under stress.
And so that's really a tough question right there, is that sometimes the person, and I explained to you off the air a little bit about my situation when I had this, and my husband was, it's not that he wasn't supportive, it's that I felt I had to take care of him because he was so terrified. We have two small kids, and he was freaked out. So then you become this caregiver when you're trying to deal with your own self. What is some of the best advice you have for people in those relationships when, you know, the person who they are in a relationship with is not a good person to handle these kinds of stressors?
Well, one of the things that we have found the most helpful at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, where I work, is for each patient to have a dedicated, we call them mind-body therapists in our setting, somebody that they can talk to. And luckily, we're also able to provide that same support to the caregivers, to the family as well. So support is really critical. You need to have somebody you can really talk to. And if, you know, you said as the patient, your husband was having such a hard time, hopefully he would have people that he can talk with as well, so that each of you is getting the support you need. And hopefully learning how to be real with each other. I mean, so many times in relationships, you're not used to having to talk about this kind of thing with each other. And people in a relationship are often afraid that they're going to hurt each other or scare each other if they talk really openly about the hard stuff. They're trying to protect each other. So then they skirt around the issues and don't really talk about the real stuff. You know, they may have an argument over the TV when really the issue is, you know, are you going to be okay? And what am I going to be okay?
So really, the best piece of advice
people.
Is finding supportive people for both you going through the cancer and for your spouse in dealing with you going through it. So the spouse may need just as much support or of a different sort.
Absolutely. That's what we find at CTCA. We support the families, the spouses, and other family members a lot, just as much as the patients. They need it every bit as much.
Do we expect the relationship to change?
Often the relationships do change. It may be that roles change. Maybe the person who was the primary caregiver in the family is now the patient and may have some limitations in what they can do. Somebody else has to pick up more chores, do more things, relate to people in a different way. Roles usually do change in a family, and it may be the kids now are having to do more to take care of the parents, and people needing to ask for help when they're not used to asking for help and accepting help. That's a big change for a lot of people. We're used to being independent and self-sufficient and not relying on other people to help us.
What about intimacy? You know, if you're going through surgery, breast surgery, ovarian surgery, any of these things, they can affect intimacy for a pretty long time. And even the way that you feel about yourself. So how do you get through if you are feeling about yourself bad? Certainly, I mean, for regular advice, the way you feel about yourself reflects how other people feel about you too. What about when you're going through these kinds of radical changes?
Well, you're really accurate that it can really affect how a person feels about him or herself and their own body image and then in the relationship. Again, a lot of times the concerns come up around fear. Maybe the spouse of the or partner of the person with a cancer is afraid to touch them. I don't know if this is going to hurt. I don't know if this part still works the same way. And the person who has the changes in their body may be self-conscious about looking different. Maybe their body functions differently. There are many ways to be intimate, though, and we really encourage people to find a way to be close, you know, sit next to each other, hold hands, hug, stroke, you know, pet each other. I mean, just find ways to still be intimate. It doesn't always have to be, you know, sexual intercourse to be intimate with somebody. You can have many other ways to be close, and we really encourage people to explore those ways. Again, using supportive counseling or other supportive relationships if need be to get the information needed and, you know, find out from the doctor, you know, what is okay and what's not okay. What can I do or not do still?
Dr. Puckett, what if one spouse is more open than the other? So one spouse wants to, the spouse with cancer wants to talk about the future, wills, what's going to happen if, and the other spouse refuses to talk about that. No, there is no if. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fine. That denial, you know, that I think that sometimes people might go through. What do you do?
Well, we've seen that so many times, and I really encourage people to take a look at those things that are really hard. I know the family often doesn't want to, you know, even talk about a will or advance directives because they're afraid that means then they're thinking the person's going to die. But I talk about it in terms of peace of mind. You know, if you take care of those things now when you don't really have to, then if and when the time ever does come, you don't even have to worry about it. It's already taken care of. And if you have peace of mind about those things, you know, you can tuck them away in a drawer in your mind, so to speak, so you don't have to think about them all the time. But peace of mind is worth a lot. You know, people are stressed out, and having worry about those extra things just causes more stress. And that stress even causes biochemical changes in the body. It makes our bodies not work as well. So if we can take care of some of those details, it doesn't actually mean we're agreeing the person's going to die. It just means we're agreeing to have some peace of mind.
Well, and when you speak about stressors in the body, and we don't have much time left, but one of the things that stress, it can, you know, make your cancer worse, make your, you know, they've proven about that positive attitude, helping treatment, helping, you know, get through the situation. Where does a sense of humor, how do you inject a sense of humor into something that most people do not find funny?
Well, sometimes they say, you know, tragedy plus time equals comedy. I mean, sometimes just stepping back a little bit from a situation, we can find the humor in it. I think even just giving oneself and one's loved ones permission to laugh over the hard stuff eases a lot. Sometimes the other people aren't going to laugh because they're afraid it's going to offend the person with the cancer or vice versa. But if you can just kind of agree to keep a sense of humor and laugh, it really, really helps de-stress.
It certainly does. In the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Puckett, give us your best advice for cancer and relationships, tips to getting through it together.
Use support and keep talking about things. Really, really use supportive relationships and keep the communication open. Ask for help and receive help.
That's great advice. Keep your lines of communication open. Talk about these things. Do not be afraid to talk about these things. You don't have to whisper about them. Expect some changes in your relationship. However, they may be even more positive changes than you might imagine. And don't forget to take care of yourself. Even though you're worried about the other people involved, don't forget that you do need to take care of yourself. And that's what it's all about. You're listening to Radio MD. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Stay well.